This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate Education Committee will come to order. Good morning and welcome. Also want to greet the internet listeners. A couple quick reminders, make sure your cell phones and or electronic equipment are off, please. Secretary may call the roll.
Senator Gray, Jurstead, Hasselhoff, Olson, Peterson, Knudsen, Garnas.
Here. We have a quorum with the majority of the members elect present. Chair will entertain a motion for approval of minutes. It has been moved by Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Nesselhoff. All those in favor, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Minutes are approved. Really quickly, a couple expectations of the committee. Let's work together, be courteous and respectful. I expect the same things of the people that come up and testify. And also the people that come up and testify, make sure you sign in. There's a sign-in sheet in the back of the table. If you need anything handed out, we will help you do that. We have a couple able pages to do that. And when you come up and testify, make sure you identify yourself and who you are representing. All questions must come through the chair, too, and we'll try to be as orderly as we can. With that being said, this is a couple quick points to the committee. I will give assignments if the bills survive and go down to the floor, and you guys can make sure that you share those within your caucus, but I may, if they're an agency bill, give them to one of you on the committee, and I'll try to spread the wealth around. And just a couple points for the departments or agencies or people that come in and testify, and if the bill gets through here, help us out, give us some talking points, give us the discussion points, so the bill has a chance when it goes down to the floor. That is very helpful to do that. With that being said, we are going to go through the bills, and we'll go in order, which we do have them right now. And the first bill up is Senate Bill 34. This is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the South Dakota Board of Education's role if a school district fails to develop a reorganization plan. And how we'll do this, we'll go proponents, then we'll go opponents. We'll have flexibility here, committee, but we will basically hold our questions until both the proponents and opponents are done. But with that being said, we will have some flexibility. Senate Bill 34, all proponents. Good morning and welcome, Secretary Oster.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tom Oster, the Department of Education. Senate Bill 34 is legislation to clean up previous legislation that was passed 2 years ago. What it does is it clarifies what happens to a district if they fail to develop their own plan for reorganization. Currently, all of the schools that fall into the criteria of 100 and below have taken care of this with the exception of two. They've either voted and enacted a plan or they have a vote scheduled. But we do have a couple of school districts that have not done anything. They have not tried to develop a plan. They have not tried to have a vote. And I want to be clear that within that two-year time frame, they do have the ability to vote on this issue locally, whether they decided to develop a reorganization plan or whether they tried to dissolve and attach. The issue here is that the language in the original bill says the Board of Education will develop a plan, but it is not clear that plan can be implemented. There is a argument out there that school districts feel, at least a couple school districts feel, that they can forego doing anything, and then at the end of that two-year period, the Board of Education would develop a plan, and then they would just simply vote on it. And understandably, then they may vote it down, and where do we go from there? Does the Board of Education then develop another plan and allow them to vote that down and just keep this thing going on infinitum? So what this does, this simply says that at the end of that two-year period, if the school district fails to develop a plan of any sort, does not vote on a plan, whatever, at the end of that time period, the Board of Education would develop a plan and it would be implemented.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I would be available for any questions, Mr. Chairman, if you have any.
Sounds great. Any further proponents? Senate Bill 34. Any further proponents? Seeing none, Any opponents of Senate Bill 34? Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 34? Seeing no opponents, do you need a minute for rebuttal, or are you good to go there, Secretary Webster? Okay. Questions from the committee of proponents or opponents? Senator Peterson.
Thank you. I have a question of the proponent.
Secretary.
If, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, you may.
If the state develops a plan and the students are assigned to different districts, would there be any incentive money that, for reorganization that would follow those students?
Mr. Chairman. Senator Peterson, as I understand it, the Board of Education plan would be a dissolve and attach, in which case there would not be.
Senator Gerstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Secretary.
Good morning.
I am assuming that you have talked to the two schools that have not formed any kind of plan, and I am just wondering how that conversation has gone in terms of their rationale, why any school district would not take their own responsibility to do this and go ahead and do it. I would just like to know what their thinking is.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Drewstead, we have had conversations with their attorney and also with the school boards of the surrounding schools, and it is a unique situation, and that's putting it mildly when I say unique. We are in conversations with them, and it is my hope that we can work something out there that is amenable both to the state and the taxpayers of South Dakota and to those school districts. Those conversations are ongoing.
Senator Knutson.
Secretary Oster, just can you clarify for us what the difference is between a reorganization and dissolving and attaching?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Senator Knutson, dissolve and attach simply means that the school district decides where they want their, in the case of the school board, local school board making this decision, they have the ability to just simply divide up the land in that school district and then cease to exist. And the only people that get to vote in that situation are the existing school district. Those districts that they are attaching to do not have a vote in that. And that issue will come up in a later discussion. But in a reorganization plan, both school districts get together and they decide how they're going to work that marriage out. What the district's going to be called, if there's going to be any elementary schools kept open, all of those discussions go on in a reorganization, and then both school districts must vote in the affirmative to get that to happen. Dissolve and attach, it's just the district voting that's dissolving.
Follow-up, Senator Knutson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you dissolve and attach, do then your assets and liabilities go pro rata to the districts based on the number of kids?
Mr. Chairman. Yes, that is correct. It isn't based on the number of kids. It would be attached to the land that goes with them. The kids at that point are a moot point. The taxable value of that district based on where the land goes, that's how it's divided up. It's just the land itself. It's not the children.
Senator Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in terms of your cash, a district had some cash at the end. That is divided in accordance with the taxable values?
Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. I would have to defer on the cash that's left. I'm not sure.
Okay. We might come back to that one. Senator Peterson.
Question, if I may.
Yes.
Secretary Oster, the thing that really disturbs me is the fact that the local landowner loses the ability to choose which district his land is attached to. Is that not correct if the state makes this plan?
Mr. Chairman, if the local district dissolves and attaches, then they get together with the patrons of that district and they decide how it's going to go up. For instance, Carthage is in this process, and I believe they're dividing their land up into four or five different districts. if they fail to do anything in that two-year period of time, if the local district fails to do that, then at that point, the state could take input from the district if they wanted to dissolve and attach in separate directions. If there was no direction given, then I would be under the assumption that the Board of Education's plan would be to just dissolve and attach in mass. But they certainly have 2 years in which to divvy up their district however they see fit.
Follow up, Senator Peterson?
Well, if I may, if the state develops a plan, are they going to take into consideration of a local landowner's request of which district he wants his land attached to?
Mr. Chairman, at this point, we haven't gotten that far, so I would assume that, yes, they could still take input at that point. It would be difficult, though, for the State Board of Education to have public hearings and all of that. It certainly would be our wish and desire that the district do that themselves within that two-year time frame. Now, going forward, I mean, those districts that were under 100 2 years ago when this passed had a little over 2 years in order to do this. Going forward, there would be no more districts under 100 until they drop to that point. And certainly they would know, based on their enrollment projections, where they would be. So in many cases, they would have 3 years, 4 years to start planning for this.
Any further questions, committee? Any other questions? Chair closes the public hearing on Senate Bill 34. It's open for committee discussion and or action. Senator Knutson.
Move to pass.
There's been a motion by Senator Knutson to pass, seconded by Senator Gray. Any remarks? Let's go Senator Knutson first.
To me, you need to have some provision to deal with the circumstances that Secretary Oster kind of described, where you have two school districts that apparently are not taking any action to comply with our requirements. I think this bill makes sense in putting the or setting the Department of Education and the Board of Education to prepare the plan and implement it. Again, you just need some sort of default provision when you don't have cooperation. I think this bill makes sense.
Senator Nesselhoff, and then Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand why the bill's in front of us, and I understand why the Secretary would like the extra authority to do this. But as somebody who's always adamantly opposed arbitrary minimums set by the state, I feel no obligation to make it easier to enforce those. So I'm going to vote no today.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to vote no to this bill, too. I just feel that we are centralizing way too much authority all the time in state government and losing local control. I'm really concerned about the local control, about the ability of a landowner to assign to a specific district where he wants his land to go. And under this plan, I can see the state just telling him, you're going to be attached to this district. And it may not be a fault of his own. It may be that the school district authorities and the overwhelming vote is to not accept a prepared plan, but he himself might, the landowner, have a specific idea of where, when that school district is dissolved, he wants his land to go, and he will lose that ability completely when we pass this.
Any further comment from the committee? Any further comment? There is a motion before us, a do-pass motion. It was moved by Senator Knutson, seconded by Senator Gray. No other discussion. All those in favor will say aye. Again, this is a do-pass. Do-pass motion. Opposed, no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Gray?
Aye.
Jurstead?
No.
Nesselhoff?
No.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Knutson?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye. Having received a majority of the members elect, it has passed, Senate Bill 34. Senator Nesselhoff.
Just a comment. I'm glad we could start off the session on such a good bipartisan note there.
That's our goal. Okay, thank you very much. We are going to move on to Senate Bill 38. Senate Bill 38 is an act to require school districts to keep contiguous boundaries when reorganizing. Once again, we will ask for the proponents of Senate Bill 38. Secretary Ulster.
Morning again. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 38 is to restore the law as it was prior to 2001. In 2001, this law was changed to accommodate a specific school district, and frankly has not been a big issue up to this point. But given the fact that there is legislation requiring school districts under 100 to come up with a plan, this could potentially become quite a quagmire. The way the state has handled dissolve and attach at this point has been just as a minor boundary change, and be a large minor boundary change. And the law is written such that it says that under a minor boundary change, the school districts must be contiguous. But there is some question legally as to whether it would be a minor boundary change or whether it would be a reorganization. So what we have is a situation where a Hurley school district, for instance, could dissolve and attach with Rapid City. And keep in mind that under a dissolve and attach, the only school district that votes is the district that's dissolving. So Rapid City would have no say whatsoever in whether the Hurley school district attached to their district. And because of other state law, the Rapid City school district would be required to provide transportation and educate those children. Now, obviously, I don't think they would provide transportation from Hurley to Rapid City. But in effect, what would probably happen then is that would be a way for a school district to guarantee themselves an elementary school. Now, they are not required by law to provide transportation for high school students, and those students could simply open enroll to wherever they wanted to go, but it would guarantee a school district keeping an elementary school open. So, again, this is cleanup language to make sure that we have districts following the rules that you have set forth prior to. It does have a provision in there that says that the Department of Education can waive this contiguous rule in the event that it makes good common sense. We recently had two school districts that consolidated. They did not dissolve and attach, or excuse me, they were going to vote to dissolve and attach. They are not contiguous. And I'll go back again. That is a consolidation, not a dissolve and attach. But they are not contiguous, and we approve that plan. So there are situations where you might have two districts that are not contiguous, but they are only separated by a quarter of a section of land, where it would make sense to go ahead and allow that to happen. But in the case that I referenced with Hurley and Rapid City, obviously that's not what we're looking for with our school districts in South Dakota.
Thank you, Secretary Wilson. Further proponents of Senate Bill 38. Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents of Senate Bill 38? Good morning, Mr. Teason. Welcome.
Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Teason. I'm an attorney here in Pierre. I appear today on behalf of the Associated School Boards of South Dakota. We are concerned about the fact that this bill suggests that this can be waived if deemed appropriate. That doesn't provide the department any guideline as to when it would be appropriate. The appropriate would be deemed by whom? It would be deemed appropriate when? For what reasons would it be appropriate to waive it? How much must they adjoin or not if he's going to waive it? Why can he waive it? Why can he not waive it? The law requires, and I think there's a case that some of you are probably familiar with, in South Dakota, it's the Keene Ranch case, that requires quite simply that before you can delegate responsibility to an agency of government, there has to be some careful criteria set forth identifying when they can exercise that authority that you give them. in order for there to be a constitutional delegation of authority to the Department of Education, there must be, one, a clear expressed legislative intent to delegate that authority to the department, and secondly, and most importantly, it's the part that's missing in this bill, is there has to be a sufficient guide or a sufficient standard to guide the agency as to when they can exercise that authority. We think this bill falls afoul of that when it simply says the Secretary of Education may waive this requirement if deemed appropriate. I cannot find any direction in those words that would suggest when that would or would not be appropriate for the Secretary of Education to do so. And I think that it falls afoul as an unconstitutional delegation of authority.
Thank you. Any further opponents of Senate Bill 38? Any further opponents? Good morning. Welcome, Senator Koskinen.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. I could just kind of come up here to make a few of you that wear blue jeans jealous because it feels nice. John Koskinen, I'm from Wood, representing myself. And I just was going through the internet last night and kind of looking at legislation and saw this piece of legislation. I know who it affected. This deals with the situation where Wood and Clomer, they have a proposal, and I don't know what the outcome may be. I've only been to one public meeting on that particular issue, but there's a school district in between the Wood and Clomer school districts. And I read this bill, and I, in fact, we had one public meeting that we had on this bill, or on this, on the, not the bill, but on the reorganization, and I that was one of the proposals. The proposal was Wood to combine with White River, which is a contiguous district. Was White River and Winter, and then the other, the third one was Clomer. I thought, can they do that? Because I can remember how the law has been written, and they had to be contiguous. And I thought, well, they can't do that. And I got thinking, well, why can't they? You know, what was the reason? That's why I kind of came up here this morning to find out what the reason was. And it says to restore the law. But I want to go back to a situation, and a lot of you that I've worked with over the years have heard this story, but it's kind of unique in this day and age where we have the technology and we're looking for paradigm changes, you know, doing things differently. Wood School District probably has one of the longest serving superintendents, one of the smallest schools in the state. And they always talk about how they have a hard time keeping superintendents. Wood School District probably has the longest serving superintendent. I'm not sure about that, but he's been there a long time. I was on the school board when I hired Chris Anderson in probably 1988. 87, 88, something. We've had one superintendent since then. Now, we did it differently, and that's the thing that's neat about individual school districts. They can be creative. Wood School District contracted. We didn't jointly hire, but we contracted a superintendent. Now, that superintendent happened to be at Lyman, at Presho, and we contracted, and that superintendent, Chris Anderson, moved to Martin. So our superintendent now was many districts away, and he was at Martin. He retired from Martin. And he moved to Spearfish. Wood School has had a superintendent living probably 200 miles away. Now, you know, that sounds odd. Is that right or not? But what it did is allowed the Wood School District to select their superintendent. Now, how it comes back to this situation today is it creates a laboratory for innovation. And again, I had even legislation I brought that I thought that the state should even have it as a pilot program, because you have schools of similar interest trying to combine to get services that fit them. And I thought that was, you know, again, what did in that situation, they were hiring a superintendent because they couldn't afford a full-time superintendent for a small school, so they hired and they just contracted services and paid. Well, again, it goes back to this thing. You're trying to, I think, actually there should be legislation that encourages and not discourages schools to do some creative ways to manage your schools. You know, the small school, I can tell you some of the hurdles that when it comes to reorganization is when a small school starts to talk to a larger school, they know they're going to get swallowed. And they have distance issues. Where I live, my kids drove 45 miles to Winter to school. Well, in the situation where we're combining a larger school and a smaller school, this bigger school eventually is going to win out, and you're going to close that attendance center. Now, that may be a good idea, a bad idea, but at least the local people get to decide. So if you have the two small schools that are like the Wood and Colombe School District, similar size, they can negotiate, and you know, both sides of the district get served. I think it's a good idea to allow it. I think this is a bad idea to disallow it. You know, you have potential for a lot of schools. There may be 10 schools or 5 schools, small schools that want to get together, and they may not be contiguous and share one superintendent. That to me is a good idea, because then they're not forced into this idea that we have to survive and we have to find a superintendent we can afford, and we can only pay, I don't know what a going superintendent wage is now, but $35,000, that's all we can afford. We can say we can combine with these other schools, pick up a bunch of schools, or combine with a larger school. You know, Wood could have went together with Chamberlain or Pierre. You know, that's the creativity that we've allowed, especially with open enrollment. Why not let the superintendents enroll? Why can't we, the districts, have open enrollment? So, I don't know if it's true that, you know, Hurley is going to go with Rapid City. I think that's probably not very likely. They're going to start doing that kind of thing. Obviously, the legislature would come in and react to that and fix that problem if that really was a proposal. But this is a real proposal. The Wood and Colombe School District they're proposing. I think it's a good idea, and I'd ask you to kill the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
And I'd ask you to answer any questions, please.
Thank you very much. Any further opponents of Senate Bill 38? Any further opponents? Committee, any questions for the proponents or opponents? Senator Knutson.
A question for Mr. Teason.
Mr. Teason, please.
Dick, is the Associated School Boards opposed to the bill itself, or just the vagueness of the delegation standard?
Well, our primary concern is the fact that it's vague and that it does not have criteria. We do have concern that it will result in a checkerboard kind of a reorganization, where you're going to have considerable gaps in between two different school districts, and that they will not be contiguous if they can be waived. So we have concern about the principle of the bill as well, and that it should be left to local to decide what works and what doesn't. But we're concerned about the fact that if you're going to give the authority to the Secretary of Ed, that there has to at least be some sort of criteria.
Follow-up, Senator Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What if we allowed hops, if you will, but limited the distance, you know, said that, gee whiz, you could still skip over an intervening school district as long as the hop wasn't more than 20 miles or something like that. Does that give any comfort?
That would be criteria, and it would likely pass constitutional muster, whether 20 miles is right or 10 miles or 3 miles or 5 miles, I think is probably an issue for discussion. I don't have an answer for you, Senator. I apologize, but I just didn't come prepared to offer, frankly, what that criteria should be, because I'm not sure I'm the person that has that knowledge. If you agree that it requires some criteria, then I think it would need it would need some sit down and some conversation about what that criteria ought to be.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question, if I may, of Secretary Ulster.
Secretary Ulster.
Secretary Ulster, how many schools exist today that do not have all of their land contiguous?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure the answer to that question. There are very few, I would say two or three.
When did the follow-up, if I may?
Senator Peterson.
When did the contiguous statute come into effect?
Mr. Chairman, it was the contiguous, as far as I know, was always there. The law was changed in 2001 to allow for non-contiguous.
Senator Peterson.
A follow-up, if I may.
Yep.
In when the Grand Duel School District reorganized in 1963, I had a neighbor that was 1 mile south of me, and we're getting close to the dual district. and I'm in the Grand Dual District, and he chose to not have all of his property in the Grand Dual District, and some of it was put in the Dual. So back in 1963, you did have the ability to not have all contiguous land. Is that not true?
Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't have that history in front of me, Senator Peterson. I could certainly find out. I know that in the large reorganization that took place in South Dakota in 1968, there was a lot of gerrymandering. That's when all the country schools, or the majority of the country schools, were had to attach to a high school. And I know there was gerrymandering at that point. When the contiguous statute first came into play, I don't know. The only thing I can tell you for certain today is that that statute was changed in 2001 that said that you did not any longer have to be contiguous.
Senator Peterson.
Why do you want all the property to be contiguous?
Secretary Elster.
There are taxation situations that you run into, but the primary reason would be the dissolve and attach. The example I gave earlier, where a district 300 miles away could dissolve and attach with another district, and the district they're attaching to has no ability to say no. The law says that if they dissolve and attach, the only district that gets to vote is the district that's leaving, or that's going to attach. So in my Hurley Rapid City example, and I don't mean to be picking on Hurley, but two districts about as far away as you can possibly get, Hurley would get to vote on that, but Rapid City would not. And what it would do in essence is we would guarantee an elementary school left in Hurley for infinitum, because Rapid City would be required then by law to provide an education for those students and transportation. So they wouldn't have any choice but to leave that open, because obviously they couldn't transport them from there to the Rapid City School District. That's the biggest concern. We would not be opposed, Mr. Chairman, to criteria. In fact, it would make my job and the department's job a lot easier if there were set criteria. In fact, you know, if you would choose to hold this so that we could prepare an amendment, I would be all for that, where you would say they may jump a district or whatever. The reason that criteria was not put in is that it becomes very difficult to figure out, okay, what are all the different scenarios in which you'd want to do this. Now, you could simply say a district can jump one district, but then you have the situation, well, what's the definition of jumping one district when these two gerrymander this way and this way? So, well, we would be open to that. The concern is, again, that we don't want a district to be hindered by this when they have no say in it. They cannot vote on it.
Senator Knutson.
Mr. Chairman, Secretary Oster kind of anticipated my view. I mean, I think the point about the failure to provide criteria is certainly fair, and I was going to ask him whether he preferred the see the discretion eliminated or to have criteria put in, and I gather from your comments that you would prefer to have some time and create some criteria.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. We would either like to create criteria or eliminate that portion of the bill where it gives us the ability. My concern is, and I understand Senator Peterson's concern, that there are situations where it would make some sense, some common sense, to allow two non-contiguous districts to consolidate. And I hate to see that completely go away. But there are certainly situations where non-contiguous districts consolidating would make absolutely no sense. And then the fact that only one side gets to vote on it, it makes it really unfair for the district that's being attached to. But we would be willing to try to come up with a criteria.
Any further questions at this time? Secretary Oster, any further questions for anyone else? If not, we are early in the session. I mean, this is something that I think we can definitely work around with Senate Bill 38. We could drop it below the line. We could have, you know, further discussion. It would give the opportunity to put an amendment on that. Any discussion about trying to work in that direction? Senator Gerstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I listen to the testimony, my thought, I'm going to try to be gentle with my words here, but that this is maybe something, a bill in the working, a bill that's not yet ready. I found the example, please, I don't mean to be critical, but of Hurley and Rapid City, to me, really not relevant. The term gerrymandering was used, and that was the image that came to my mind. My bias is that, you know, I think it's very difficult to begin with to ask these small schools to close and to reorganize. I think you're cutting the heart out of a community. I don't think we in Pierre know when at the time is right to do that. It has to happen at some point. But we are doing it. We are down the road. Now we're just kind of cutting the legs out from underneath the district in terms of telling them exactly who they're going to be hooking up with and giving them kind of no say. I mean, there aren't any criteria in this bill, which makes the bill right away, I think, very questionable. However, going forward, I would not like to see certain criteria A, B, and C set forward, because what we are doing is we are locating the power to redistrict, to consolidate here in Pierre, where we don't really know all the history, all the dynamics of the community, the things that are going on. And I think that we at least need to be, to allow those communities that are doing this extremely emotionally difficult thing to at least have the say of where they're going to be going. And you know what? In terms of elementary schools, if I were in that community, I would fight tooth and nail to try to keep an elementary school. Do I want my 5-year-old getting on the bus and traveling 40 miles one way or even 20? I would be, you know, I guess worried about that, especially, you know, with the bus accidents that happened today. So I would fight tooth and nail to try to keep an elementary school in my community. And I think if it's possible, we should allow that to happen. So I guess I'm quite concerned about any part of this bill going forward, but feel very strongly that this bill is certainly not ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Dierstad. Senator Knudsen.
I would move we defer this bill to the call of the chair.
Second. Thank you, Senator Knudsen. There's been a motion by Senator Knudsen, seconded by Senator Nesselhoff. Give the chair the opportunity, I think, this to defer this indefinitely until we get both sides together and work on it at that point, and then we can present it later on. That being said, all those in favor say aye. Oh, Senator Dierstad.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. I don't know if I can make a second recommendation at this point.
Substitute motion
mm-hmm. to defer this bill to the 41st day.
Okay, we have substitute motion by Senator Dierstad to defer Senate Bill 38 to the 41st legislative day. For those listening on the Internet, that would effectively kill the bill at this point, but I do need a second on that. It's been seconded by Senator Peterson. So we have a motion before us by Senator Dierstad, seconded by Senator Peterson, and that is to move Senate Bill number 38 to the 41st legislative day. Secretary will take the roll.
Senator Gray?
No.
Dierstad?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
No.
Olson?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Knudsen?
No.
Karnas?
No. The substitute motion has failed. That brings us back to the original motion where it would have an opportunity to continue to work on the bill and defer it to a later date. And we did have a motion by Senator Knudsen. It was seconded by Senator Nesselhoff. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll.
And this is to defer to...
Voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It passes. So with Senate Bill 38, the department will have an opportunity to work with you to come up with an amendment and move this forward at a later date. Next on the agenda is Senate Bill 39. This is an act to make an appropriation to the Department of Education to reimburse certain school districts for consolidation incentives and to declare an emergency. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tammy Darnell with the Department of Education. First of all, it's good to see everybody again, and welcome to the new members. Senate Bill 39 is our annual appropriation that we request to pay the consolidation incentives for the school districts that have reorganized and are eligible. This year we've had four districts, really three reorganizations. Harold and Highmore reorganized for the Highmore-Harold School District, Mulbridge and Pollock for the Mulbridge-Pollock School District, and then Polo split between Miller and Faulkton, so we have the Miller area and Faulkton area school district. Also, we have two or three districts that are in their second year of consolidations that would be eligible for the incentives, and that's the Irene Wakanda School District, Kadoka Area Schools, and Platte-Getty School District. This year, the total payments comes to $1,154,293, and I request your support of this bill and hope we can move it onto the floor. If you have any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponents of Senate Bill 39. Further proponents. Are there any further proponents? Any opponents of Senate Bill 39? Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 39? Any questions from the committee, of proponents or opponents? Any questions from the committee? Any questions? You don't need a rebuttal, do you? Chair closes the public hearing on Senate Bill 39. It is now open for committee discussion and or action. Senator Nesselhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just can't help myself. It's so great to see you, Tammy, up here lobbying for more money for education. I hope this is the beginning of a wonderful trend, and I will move to pass.
Any further discussion? And we do have a motion before us by Senator Nesselhoff, and that is a do pass motion. And it has been seconded by Senator Gray. Senator Knutson, comment.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the procedure is to send bills like this to appropriations rather than send them to the floor. And so I would move a substitute motion to refer this to appropriations. I think our tradition on spending bills like this is to, if we agree with the policy inherent in them, to then refer them to appropriations. If we don't agree with the policy, then we deal with them appropriately here in the committee, but I would substitute motion to refer to appropriations.
Thank you, Senator Knutson. There has been a substitute motion by Senator Knutson. It was seconded by Senator Nesselhoff to send this to the Appropriations Committee, obviously because there are fiscal reasons for that. That being said, is there any more comment on that? Seeing none, the motion before us is a substitute motion to send Senate Bill 39 to the Appropriations Committee. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed, no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Gray?
Aye.
Drewsted?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Knutson?
Aye.
Karnas?
Aye. Senate Bill 39 has received a majority vote of the members-elect present, and it will now go to the Appropriations Committee. With that being said, is there any further comment from the committee? If not, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. It has been moved by Senator Peterson, seconded by Senator Olson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.